Then we'll start with some team news. Who might be back from the weekend? Of course, we've had the international break as well. So has everyone come back fit and well?
Yeah, all the lads off international duty have come back good shape. Obviously, the game was Tuesday night, which doesn't help, which isn't ideal when you've got a Friday game, but it is what it is. It's the same for everybody. So, yeah, all the lads have come back okay. And, yeah, we've had Joe and J-Mo back this week as well. So that's good.
Yeah, we're speaking to Matty today, so presumably he's available for selection.
Yeah, he started to ramp up back end of last week, and then he's done a 4 weeks training so far this week. So he's in a good spot. He knows his body better than anybody. So he's in a good place and good to go.
Did the international break come at a good time? A bit of a reset.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it was good players and staff. I think just to breathe a little bit, I think to reflect on a challenging period, to then obviously get some time on the grass, some rest as well, and reflect a little bit and go, right, what does it look like for the final eight? And I think that's a big bit, a real big push, in the final eight games.
Yeah, how do you reflect now? It's 12 days since the emotions of West Brom. There was a lot of emotion up to and including West Brom. How do you just reflect on the period up to then where results weren't the best?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think, a lot of... Like you said, I think the key bit being a lot of emotion. Again, I think in terms of how we handle that, how we deal with that, and the balance of, tweaking things to try and get success versus staying kind of true to us and our identity. So that was some of the reflections, I've kind of gone away and had. And, like I said, for me, the big bit is now going into the final eight. What do we transfer from those reflections? What do we transfer from, the experiences we've had so far, so that when we go into the final eight games, we can have a real big push.
What do you hope will change? I'm starting tomorrow against Leicester.
I think it's, like I said, using some of the experiences we've had. So, I think back to not so long ago Ipswich, where for 90% of the game, it was good. It was what we wanted it to look like. A similar one on Sky, obviously, against Southampton, who were on a good run of form. I think it's that. I think it's, controlling our heads and where we're at, and making sure that, we're going to the game knowing that, we've been there, we've done it against, numerous sides in this division. We're capable of doing it. And then we go out and do us and work as hard as we can to, keep building on our identity and moving the direction we want to.
Often we start at the back and you want to be tight defensively. Do the players have the license to be creative, free, maybe take a risk or two?
Yeah, definitely. I'd never want a player to step on the pitch and feel shackled. I think that's really important, that. So we give them, we give them elements of the structure and ways that they can progress up the pitch. But at the same point, I think it's really important any player when they step on the pitch that, they feel empowered to make decisions. They know that we're here to help, support, and of course challenge them and make them better. And that for me is really important. That I think you sign players because what they're good at, it's trying to work hard to tactically get them in a position, but also psychologically get them in a position where they can step on the pitch and be brave and confident and do them.
How important are the final eight games of the season to get some momentum and some positivity going into the summer?
Yeah, huge, huge. That, I think, in terms of, like I said, we all know we've had a challenging period, but at the same point, I think stepping back, I think it is about progress. It's about like you said, getting ready for next season. I think it is making sure that every game is hugely important to us, that we step on the pitch and give everything that we've got, and then that we keep progressing, we keep moving forward, because. I think for me, I don't see it as one season finishes, the next season starts. It's a continuation. It's a, we should be looking to, constantly evolve, develop and progress. And that for me, is the message that we have to have as a group inside.
Eight games still to go. How clear in your mind is your squad going into the summer? Have you an idea in your mind who you'd like to keep, who maybe might have futures elsewhere, who you'd like to bring into the club?
Yeah, I think definitely the latter one. I think I'm quite clear what we need and what we need to add and what we're lacking. I think that, I'm quite clear on that. And obviously there's a huge amount of work that's going on and has been for a period of time to identify, potential targets. And then the rest around it, we've still got eight games. So again, I think, there's constant conversations around the squad and what it looks like. And, that, like I said, that will evolve over time as we move closer towards the end of the season.
Yeah, without naming names, have you started to have conversations with players about their futures at Bristol City?
Not yet, not yet. I think priority at the moment is making sure that, we get ready to, in the next, especially the next, obviously, 2-3 weeks, we've got a heavier period, making sure that all our focus, all our energy goes into that at the moment. I think that for me is definitely priority.
When you win games, everything's great. When not, we pick things with a tooth comb. Can I ask, hopefully, what's a constructive question, and you can just give us an insight into substitutions at West Brom? I think it took until 68 minutes to make a change. Towards the end, like for like, when you're chasing it, can you tell me your thinking behind substitutions? Is obviously not on a whim. A lot of planning goes into it. But I guess supporters will just be interested to know your thoughts on, especially West Brom on 2 weeks ago.
It feels forever ago, 2 weeks ago. That moved on since then. I think you know, you look at it, you're not always going to get it right. I think first and foremost, I think I'm quite clear on that. Obviously, the aim is to get more right than wrong. And, you know, I think especially early on, if you look at the changes we made, and I think, you know, numerous games where players coming on had real huge impact positively. And I remember talking about that numerous times post-game around people stepping on the pitch and, you know, even maintaining or increasing the level. And again, I think, a lot of thought goes into it. We'll plan, we'll have discussions, see what it looks like, but you also have to go off what the game presents, what it feels like, and, you know, what you think you need to do to, you know, shift momentum and change things. So, they're bits that I go away and I always reflect on and analyse, and bits that, you know, I'm my biggest critic in terms of whether I get things right or wrong, because I want to do so well. So, yeah, they're bits that, you know, we discuss before the game, but you also have to feel in game.
So safe to say, if you're being criticised, there's someone criticising them more than that, it's you.
Yeah, like I said, I'm my own biggest critic. I put more pressure on myself than anybody, just because I want to do well, I want to succeed, and, you know, I want to do that here.
Without second guessing your team, Scott Twine, is the stage set for him now to kickstart his Bristol City career?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I thought he had a real positive impact when he came on against West Brom. I thought, you know, just in the positions he takes up and, you know, the risk he takes with the ball, you know, he immediately tries to find Naki on a little diagonal. He does a little overs to you know, corns. So I think in terms of, he's, you know, an expert at playing between the line in tight areas. And for me, he's constantly looking to create. And I think that's what, you know, that's why we brought him in. We needed somebody like him that, you know, can take up positions that, you know, then ultimately threads wide players or threads strikers. And, you know, yeah, like I said, I thought he did a terrific job of that in the first game he started, which feels forever ago, and I thought he did a good job of it against West Brom when he came on.
Is he fit?
Yeah, he's fit. He's had a really solid couple of training weeks. He's in a good place. So, yeah, hopefully he can have a big impact in the next 8 games.
I'm told it's the busiest press box of the season. I'm guessing a lot of eyes on Leicester. How do you assess them as an opponent who could be Premier League in just 4 or 5 weeks' time?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, when you look at the, you know, you have to look at the recent history of the club, what they've achieved, I think, you know, and then when you come down, if you're able to retain, you know, established Premier League players like they have, and then obviously reinvest, you know, a large amount of money as well, I think, of course, you naturally you'd expect them to be strong, competitive. Doesn't guarantee anything. Enzo's come in and done a terrific job as well, which, you know, is important. And I used to actually work with him at West Ham when I was with the 23s, so it's been interesting to see his journey progress. And like I said, it's a good game, it's a challenging game, but ones that we've done well in before previously.
Yeah, I guess there's a different kind of pressure on him to get Leicester back in the Premier League.
Yeah, of course, you'd expect that, right, I think, in terms of given the squad they've got and how it looked for them in the summer. So, yeah, there's definitely that. And, yeah, if anything, that, you know, that can go to our advantage tomorrow, hopefully.
Is this a good time to play Leicester? They've got obviously issues off the pitch and teams breathing down their necks in the top of the table.
Yeah, you never know. Teams go different ways, right? Some thrive under that pressure. Some don't like it. Some respond differently. For me, I don't know their group. I don't know their culture. I don't know, you know, how they're going about it. So for me, it's concentrate on us. Make sure that we turn up tomorrow and we, you know, be the best version of ourselves.
And not too many empty seats. How important is it the players give the fans something to cheer about on Friday?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and you know, it's a big bit of getting back to, you know, how we've done it previously. I think that's the biggest bit, you know, making sure that, like I said, we turn up tomorrow and max out everything. The intensity is there, the bravery's there, the discipline's there, all the, you know, all the behaviours I talk regularly about, making sure that, you know, we go out and we be the best version of ourselves.
And just finally, how much of a percentage is your eye on Monday as well? Have you thought about Plymouth at all, or over a busy Easter period, do you just have to purely focus on Leicester for now?
I'll watch Plymouth this afternoon. So the work's already been started by some of the staff, and then I'll loosely get eyes on them this afternoon. But my energy goes on tomorrow. I think that's, you know, the paramount is making sure that we're ready to go tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With Enzo, because he's obviously Man City as well.
Yeah.
You were with the City Football Group when he was with the academy. Was there any? Was that right? Is that, did you pass cross in that capacity?
No, it was when I was. So Enzo was on Mr. Pellegrini's staff at West Ham. Right. So he was first team coach there when I was the 23s. So quite often I'd liaise through him with which players were transitioning between groups and stuff. So I had a good relationship with him, to be fair.
No surprise, I guess, that he would go on to secure a big managerial job like this.
No. The bits for me when I liked him, I remember chatting with him around how he was studying coaches and stuff. So again, I think he, you know, seeing him work and how he was around people, I think, you know, he's a terrific people person when I came across him. So yeah, it hasn't surprised me, no.
When you kind of talk about this period of the season, if you like, and the need to show progress, whether that be to yourselves, to yourself, players, whatever, is there therefore a frustration that you haven't played or secured results that you would have liked to? Like, how much of a frustration is there, I guess?
Yeah, it drives me insane. I hate it. I want to win games. I'm here to win games. And again, I think it's in different ways, right? I think we've performed well and not won games, which is a level of frustration. There's also the ones where I know we can perform better and don't get the results. I think they're probably the worst ones when you don't quite hit your level. And again, that's the bit I think is such a fascinating game, isn't it, in terms of, you know, why you don't do that or why you don't get the results. You know, like I said, we do analyse everything probably too much at times. But, you know, I do think sometimes it's tactics, sometimes it's psychological, sometimes it's, you know, it might be physically that you're flat out. Sometimes it's luck doesn't go your way, which, you know, I think, you know, some of the games where you look at it, and I've watched championship games forever, you know, if you think around it, so many games where there's absolutely nothing in it, it's just what way it falls that day sometimes. And, you know, we have to work harder to make sure they fall in our favour, of course, because I do, the cliches of creating your own luck, I do think you can do that. So, yeah, I'm as frustrated as anybody, but again, for me, I'll always remain positive. I'll always come in and do, you know, hardest work I can and make sure that the lads are quite clear and step on and go and lead it. Said, we had a meeting about it Monday, go and be the best version of us. You know, they've got nothing to lose, go all out. You know, think back to some of the experiences that weren't so long ago and you know, go and try and replicate that, because we've done it.
And do you feel a need or an obligation to kind of show the supporters a bit more of what you're about?
Yeah, of course. I want the fans on board, ultimately. I think that's really important. They're, you know, and Brian regularly says it to me, it's only six games ago, the Southampton game where everybody was on, you know, a bit of a high and obviously was in a terrific spot. So I want to get back there and I'm desperate to do that, you know. And, you know, I want the fans to turn up and enjoy watching the team, which there's been games and, you know, where I found it tough to watch us at times, but I also understand why. I think, you know, it's such a, you know, so much pressure on the players that, you know, when you do lose a couple of games, naturally, you know, whether it be confidence, you know, and then that has a knock-on effect with bravery or, you know, bits fall off. But that's the bit for me. We're very fortunate people, what we do. So go and turn up tomorrow and give everything you've got. And then for me, the outcome will take care of itself.
And sort of feeding into that with the confidence thing, this run, if you like, sort of post-Southampton, do you think, like, if each game had been taken in isolation, you could have secured very different results, but kind of one thing has led to another, has led to another, has led to another? Would that be fair to say?
I do think there's elements of that, yeah. You know, I think back to the Cardiff game where it's a typical championship game. I thought it was quite low quality, but nothing in it. I think if you play that game 10 times, we probably win three or four. They might win three and you might draw the rest. So there's nothing in it. But, you know, where you maybe start that game emotionally because of how Sheffield Wednesday was, it kind of, you know, we're not the only side in the championship to have done it this year. And that's why the big bit is around the next eight games of building momentum. And, you know, then for me, you can use those experiences that we've had to go, right, in the future, what do we need to do? How do we make sure that we don't, you know, go three, four games without winning? I think that it's not about necessarily not losing games. It's about how you do it and how you respond to it. And that's the bit that, you know, we've spoken a lot about is, you know, sticking together. How do you do that? How do you bounce back? So I definitely think there's an element of that where kind of a couple of games has compounded what then happens after that. And some of that's led to me then, you know, trying to tweak things, trying to ease pressure off players, trying to help them and support them in that way, which rightly or wrongly, I think it's always done with the best intentions, which is, you know, why you probably got the two halves in Swansea. You get a real cagey, nervy, edgy first half, then you're probably a bit more confident and front-footed, aggressive second half. So again, I think it's probably similar to West Brom, last 25, 30 minutes when they're, you know, there's not a lot in the first half, right? Their first shot on target, they score, right? It wasn't the prettiest, but, you know, I think at the minute, sometimes, you know, the rubber to green. And so sometimes that's quality as well. We need people to step up and deliver in high-pressure moments and do that. So I look at it and, like I said, it's how you use that experience and how do you, you know, channel it in a way that makes you better.
Because I appreciate nothing is ever without context, so you always kind of have to work within the parameters and the situation and the environment, which you kind of talked about there. But how much are kind of you coaching the team how you would like to be coaching the team, or are you having to be influenced, as you kind of indicated there, by humans, I guess?
Yeah, probably both. It's we've got a long way to go for it to look like I want it to look, and some of that's, like you said, some of that will be off the back of results and where the group are at and trying to find a way to get them success, you know, to get us success. And also some of it's just profile a player, which, you know, I think in terms of, like you say, in the future, what you'd want to add and how it looks. I think, you know, like Twiney, having someone like Twiney not being able to have that kind of profile is also then impacts how you play and how you can do it. Same as an injury. You know, obviously, you know, you lose Joe and Jamo against West Brom, obviously, then you have to make certain tweaks off the back of that. So it's, for me, we've seen flashes of it since I've been here. You know, some of the games, I think, you know, Watford away, very close to what I'd want it to look like. Probably what elements of Watford at home as well, where we were very front-footed and gone, you know, be brave. Same as, you know, some of the cup games, you know, Southampton, Middlesbrough, and that's how I kind of see football. We want to live in certain phases more than others, and we've had to adapt off certain things on the journey we've had so far.
Would you have liked to press more, been a bit more aggressive in that department?
Yeah, I would have. And I do think some of that. I think we've done it well at times. You know, QPR thought we did it quite well, but then what we didn't do off the back of it was maybe dominating off duels and second balls, which, you know, we've sat down and we've looked at and you've spoken about. And some of it, you know, when you look at December, January, February, to be able to press when you've got a game every 3.5 days, you know, the physical output, it's been challenging from that perspective. And, you know, elements, you know, chance creation, Southampton, which was, you know, terrific performance, was more us creating quite a lot on counter-attack. So it's almost that balance. You know, we've at times found it hard to beat a block. So rather than dominate the ball and force them in the block, how do you? So there's so many factors go into it. In general, it doesn't change what I want the game to look like across the course of a season. It might look different in certain games, depending on the level and who you're playing against. But in general, you know, coming, I want to be a team that gets after it. I want us to go and engage higher. I think we've got players that have got terrific legs and the capacity to run, but should need to do it off an organised, you know, I want it to look like basketball, where it's just complete end-to-end, because, you know, that brings different challenges in conceding lots of chances on the counter. And I want us to be a team that has the ball, but with purpose. And you know, that's something that, you know, I've spoken to the lads about, you know, being direct, getting crosses in, getting people in the box, having shots, taking on, you know, taking players on, etc. So, and again, I think some of that comes from the, you know, a little bit of a transition of, you know, when you've added, you know, a large element of playing off the structure, sometimes people obsess too much on that rather than going, well, you're free off the structure, but play off your positions, because then you can repeat good.
On Matty James being back, he's one of these that when he's not in the team, from an external perspective, I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but you almost appreciate his presence more when he's not in the team, because you kind of see what he does when you don't see what happens, if you know what I mean. That's not being detrimental to the guys who've stepped in, but I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what do you think he brings that's so influential and important?
Yeah, I think, hence his captain, right? I think his leadership and his responsibility is excellent. I think, you know, I have a terrific relationship with him as well. I think there's that. I think there's you know, his physicality, when you look at it, how he is in duels, and, you know, I think he does a lot of that, where, you know, regains and intercepts a lot, because, you know, he uses his body well. And then, you know, technically he's a good footballer as well, right? He's got a terrific range on him. And again, I think, you know, when you look at it, the, you know, a whole culmination of things that, you know, are massive for what the group needs. So, yeah, having him back is a, you know, huge bonus.
Jason Knight and Mark Sykes, are that, you're probably not going to say, but could they start?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And with Scott obviously coming back into the mix, again, you're probably not going to say, but you've sort of indicated that he could play as a 10, or has he played as the 10, or to sort of slightly to the left when it was him and Knight against Watford, when you lined up with the two playmakers. I'm just wondering, obviously, Jason played a bit deeper in that last 25 against West Brom. Has there been any consideration to move him, whether that be deeper or whether that be a little bit wider, to kind of make room for Scott?
Yeah, there's the potential. I think you have to wait and see, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
There's the potential. I think, you know, when I look at it, like you say, it's getting people in positions to bring their strengths to the team. And again, that's sometimes the balance of who plays with who. Sometimes it's, you know, how the team works. So, like say, with Twiney, he can start centrally, or he can play wide and come in from the side. So you've got that. The same as Knighty, I think, in terms of just how he triggers the press and his energy higher up and, you know, getting us up the pitch, I think he does a terrific job of that as well. So it's definitely not, you know, I know he's played there before. I know he, you know, played there for Ireland the other day as well. So I know he can do it. So it's definitely something that we'll consider.
Thanks, Sam.
Eamon obviously made a good step back the other day. I just wondered, how's he come out of that? Okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he felt good. We're going to be a little cautious. I think, you know, today's the day where, you know, it's probably where you carry the biggest hangover from from what Avery did on the other day, the report's feedback was that he did extremely well. So, you know, he's trained really well. I really like some of his attributes, to be fair, and it's now a case of, you know, building him up. So, yeah, he's come through it okay. He's done a recovery session today and he's in a good spot.
Yeah, you mentioned his attributes. Obviously, he's a player that fans kind of haven't seen for nearly 2 years now, almost. I just wondered what your kind of impressions of him are. I haven't seen him in training for a while now. Just what you think his main attributes are and where you kind of see him potentially fitting in the future, whether that's in one of the midfield roles or maybe even a bit further forward.
Yeah, I definitely see him further forward. You know, I watched a lot of video when I came in, actually, of when he was fit and playing. And again, I think, you know, when I look at his qualities, I think, you know, it's definitely top end of the pitch. I think he's quite creative. You know, he's technically very good. And he drives forward well with the ball. I think, you know, he's got that low centre of gravity where he can change direction quite quickly and then drive forward. He's, you know, he's quite powerful for his size. So he's definitely got some really interesting attributes. And, you know, the challenge now is making sure that we keep him on the grass so that he can bring it to the team.
Yeah, and looking at Leicester, you mentioned earlier about the games against Southampton and Ipswich. You've obviously proven that you can really give these so-called top teams in the league a really good game and, you know, really impose yourself. That must give you so much confidence going into tomorrow, particularly at home as well, in front of the home support.
Yeah, no, it has to. I think we have to use experiences to you know, to be better. So, you know, that would be a key thing for the lad to turn up and, you know, replicate the level we're capable of. I think that's so important that, you know, like I said, eight games to go, starting with a terrific challenge, a terrific opportunity tomorrow. And, you know, let's make sure that we use the experiences we've had and we go and try and hit the level we know we're capable of.
Yeah, and in terms of hurting Leicester themselves, they've conceded 33 goals this season, 12 of those have been from set pieces. So is that an area you've kind of located and maybe done a bit of work on over the international break?
Yeah, same as what we always do, to be fair. Pat does a terrific job, you know, in terms of analysing them. Obviously, looking at what we've got and, trying to come up with ways. I think he's done a terrific job. And it's such a big part of the game, right? The number of goals scored and conceded from set pieces. So, yeah, we'll do the usual work and make sure that we do everything we can to defend and attack both boxes really well.
Yeah, and obviously, I know he won't feature again this season, but I just wondered if there was any update on Sam Bauer, whether he's kind of had surgery yet, or just an update on him. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's had his surgery, which went well. He's off his crutches now as well, so he's terrific. We actually gave him an activity to do. So just before the international break, he brought his laptop in. We put a Leicester game on it, sent him home to do the analysis, and then he came in and presented to me and James Krause, the coach analyst. So we sat with him and he basically did a full-on analysis of Leicester and kind of broke down how they set up, what do they do, what are their trends, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, and he presented it back to us. So I think that, you know, for Belly, I think in terms of, you know, where he's at, you know, learning the game, studying the game, and it's funny talking to him because he had a real appreciation of how many hours it takes to put together a 15-minute meeting for the team. You know, we tend to show the lads about 8-10 clips, but it takes probably about 15 hours to get those 8-10 clips to identify the trends, to narrow it down, to pick the best ones of how we want to play, et cetera, et cetera. So he definitely had a real appreciation of that. And the other bit in terms of how you watch the game, it when you're analysing a game, and I think when you become a coach, it's hard to watch the game for enjoyment anymore. You're constantly trying to observe where's space, what are they setting up, Freeman, how do you hurt this, how do you hurt that? And it was, you know, I think it was good for him to have a taste of it.
Cool. Is that something you've done before with players, or is that like a new thing?
No, I've done it before. I think it's, I think if you can get players thinking like coaches and thinking around why they do certain things, it definitely helps when you step on the pitch. I think it's, you know, no coincidence when players get older in their careers, I think in more experiences because they understand what they're doing more. So again, I think, you know, we're trying to fast track that. We're trying to put, you know, especially when players are injured, I think there's sometimes a danger that you can just leave them in the treatment room and that's it. So again, I think, you know, having them around it and still learning is important. And we've done it before. We've done it before where players have done that and then presented it to the team. So I'll always go through it, vet it, and they'll run it through me. But we've done it before. I did it with MK with Bradley Johnson, to be fair. He analysed the game and then stood up and presented, which, yeah, until you've done it, standing in front of 30 faces that stare back at you with very little emotion, it's quite a daunting thing. So, yeah, we haven't got Belly to do that yet, but maybe one in the future.